Hallelujah. God is a God of miracles, and sometimes it happens without our knowing, and sometimes we need to open our eyes to see that. We were ministering about 3 years ago in Christchurch, and we're just praying generally for people that came, and at the end of the service, there was a lady there, and she was crying, and her husband joined her, and he cried, and then the children joined them, and they all cried. And I said to the pastor, "What's happening?" See, the pastor said, "Well, she's scheduled to have an operation on Wednesday." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because she has had a stroke, and she can't lift her hands. And so they're going to operate on the nerves to try and see if the hands can be appraised." I said, "So what are they crying for?" Well, I prayed for her. She fell down on the power of God. And when she got up, she lifted her hands and started to praise the Lord and realized that she's never been able to lift her hands for years. And now the hands are up. And so she cried. The husband saw it and he cried. The kids saw them and they cried. And the whole church. God is like that sometimes, you know. And sometimes we need to open our eyes to what God is doing. And sometimes the miracles are not necessarily all those things. "Oh, it was great, and I was sleeping, and all of a sudden..." And sometimes a miracle is just giving to a chair. It's just giving what you can and giving your loaves and fishes so others may be able to be ministered to. Hallelujah. Have you ever had a word of prophecy sometimes and it has no meaning to you but the person that's given to? And you say, "What's so important about that?" I gave a word of prophecy one time, and I did not know, but the lady, her father was dying. I did not know what she was questioning, whether dad was saved, going to heaven. And I just came up, stood in front of her and said, "It's going to be all right." And everybody, "What's all that about?" Except that it's just like somebody turned a faucet in her face. And sometimes the miraculous comes in very many ways. The Bible talks about the gifts of healings. And the gift is plural. Gifts is plural and healings is plural. And sometimes people will operate very differently when they minister healing. On the other hand, there are people where when they minister healing, they only minister to certain sicknesses. And they try to pray for other sicknesses and they don't seem to get healed. And he said, "Why?" I said, "I don't know. Ask God. The only thing I know is there are gifts of healings." And if you see Trevor Scott minister on healing, it's very different from Bill Zabriskie. They just minister very differently. There are diversities of gifts, but there is only one Lord. Amen. And it's up to God how He operates through. And God often operates through people's personality. If somebody's aggressive, God will operate that way through their personality. If somebody's soft, and people that like soft, and it's easier for you to receive from those people. But if somebody's aggressive, sometimes you get angry and still get a miracle. Hallelujah. I pray a lot for people with bad eyes and God seemed to heal them. I pray for people with asthma. I have never had an asthmatic healed in my prayer. All they ever get is a very sore back. Because they keep falling on the ground, but they get up, they still got asthmatic. My wife prays for the asthmatic, and just about every asthmatic she prays for gets healed. So when I have an asthmatic come to me and I said, "What's wrong with you?" "I've got asthma." I said, "I'm not going to pray for you." They think I'm unkind. I said, go and see my wife, and she'll pray for you. And almost 100% success of asthmatic when she prays for them. I pray for asthmatics. If you've got asthma, don't come to me. You're wasting your time and I'm wasting my prayer. Might get a sore back, but And sometimes we question a lot of things, and I'm just talking now. I'll make sense in a minute of why we don't do all these little bits and pieces. And yeah, that's the guy, know what he's doing, you know. You know, you got Jesse come and take the offering, then he got testimonies, and then he got his daughter come and talk about the missions thing, and then what's going on? Hello? And we'll make sense in a few minutes. And sometimes our doctrine can actually stop us from receiving from God. It was the doctrine that caused the Pharisees not to get any miracles. All they had was criticize the miracles. Now sometimes you may hear something like what Pastor Gary was saying. Well, that's not miraculous to him. See, you're not him. And you were not the one that was incapacitated and can't move the hand. It's him. And when it comes, this is fantastic. Hallelujah. Are you okay? We had somebody come to church, and I shared it a little bit a couple of years ago, and I'm just using it again to illustrate what I'm saying. And I did not even know. Now, I've never done that before, and I've never done it again. There are some traditions you never break, but there are some traditions you need to break every day. You know, right? So here's a guy, he's a stranger. I've never seen him before. He came to church, and him and his wife came, and I went to pray for people, and the Lord said to me, get that man to help you pray. I said, no, I don't even know the guy. Now, don't do that, all right? Unless you hear from God and you're going to pastor a church, never do that. You don't get strangers that you don't know to come and minister unless you hear from God. It's one of the dumbest things that you can do. Get somebody you don't know to come pray for the people of your church, the people that you know. So anyway, God said, get him to come and pray with you. So I asked him. I didn't even know the guy's name. I said, sir, can you come help me pray? So we went along and we prayed, and that was fine. One of the couples in the church brought them. The following week, they came again to the service. And his wife came to the altar, and I said to him, sir, can you come help me again? That was it. After that, I never done it again. So he came, and the first person we prayed for was his wife, and she was standing here. So we prayed for somebody else, and then we prayed for somebody else, and we prayed for somebody else. The moment we prayed for this person, his wife hit the deck, and I thought she broke her neck. Because the floor was solid. There was nobody behind. I thought, bang! And I thought, and the guy stopped, looked at me, and realized that, you know. And we carried on praying. And after the service, John, who brought the couple, said, well, he'll have to believe that now. I said, what do you mean? He said, him and his wife have made up their mind that when people fall down under the power of God, they are pushed down. Now, nobody pushed her down. She was just standing there. We had already prayed for her, and we were fourth on the line when she hit the deck. Boom! I think God was trying to tell them that can happen. Hello? Amen. I remember praying for a healing line one time, and there were about 39 on the healing line, and every single one but one got instantly healed. Now, I wish God would do that every day. But he only did that once in my ministry. Now, I've had people healed, but not in a healing line where everybody but one got healed. And healed right there. Bob was praying for a crippled man, and he said to me, man, I had no faith for any crippled guy, let alone a person with the flu. And here's a crippled guy, he's just mangled up, and so he closed his eyes. Now, he's quite tall, and the guy's down there mangled up, you know, and he just, his hand is not on the guy's hands like this. And the prayer, I don't know whether the prayer had faith in it, but he just prayed. And as he prayed, the guy untangled himself and got up. And because he was shorter than Bob, Bob did not even know that the guy has already now stood up. And Bob still kept on praying. The guy looked around and he realized his home's that way. So he turned around and walked home. And Bob's still praying. And when Bob opens his eyes, the guy was not there, and everybody was laughing. And he looked around, and the guy was halfway home. Are you okay? Bob Trench, who's South African, was a businessman. He was attending a full gospel businessman's meeting, and somebody got him at the end of the gathered conference to close the conference in prayer. So when he got up, he prayed in tongues a little bit for about a minute, then he closed it in English. And he got asked to go back to that particular part of the country, and a couple asked the pastor, we'll look after Bob. Well, Bob turned up, and the couple turned up at the airport, picked him up, and spoke to him in a strange dialect. And they went home, and Bob never said anything. We got home, they spoke to him in this dialect, and Bob said, can I ring the pastor? And he rang the pastor, said, what's going on? Pastor said, what do you mean? He said, I can't understand these people. I don't understand their language. They speak a native tongue, and I only speak English. And I said, Bob, remember when you were here a few months ago, and you closed the meeting in prayer, and you prayed in the beginning, you prayed in their language. And they think that if you come back, they were really blessed that a white man has learned this particular dialect, Swahili or whatever, and they wanted to host you because they were so impressed that you spoke their language so fluently. And Bob said, I just spoke in tongues. God has a sense of humor. Last night we went and saw Jesse and Sene. Jesse and Sene used to live in Palmerston North. They now pastor a church in Honolulu. And they're only here till Wednesday, so we had to find some time to see them. They came to a wedding of their nephew. Sene and her sisters used to sing for Billy Graham all over the world. But Sene's dad was a Pentecostal pastor in Samoa. And his wife got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. His children got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. The church got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. But the pastor of the Pentecostal church did not speak in tongues. And every time the Holy Ghost will move, he'll seethe. He'll just get so angry. And things were happening in the church. He'll go sit down under a banana tree by the church and just get angry. And get angry at his wife, angry at the church, and angry at God. So there was a conference in Honolulu. That's how he got to Honolulu. Conference in Honolulu. And he went to Honolulu to the conference. And he came to the altar and to receive prayers, and instead of falling backwards, he fell forward. And when he fell forward, he hit the stage and cracked his face, and it bled. And the guy that was preaching and ministering at the conference was a white American. And when this guy came to the altar, that white American spoke in perfect Samoan. And this is what he said. He said, when you get back to Samoa, he said this all in Samoa. He said, when you get back to Samoa, relocate your family to Honolulu. because I've got many Samoans here, and I want you to start a church here where they can be saved. And when he heard that, he never heard a white man speak perfect Samoan. He fell forward, hit his head on the thing, that it bled, and then when he got up, he was speaking in tongues. Now, this is what he said. He said it to me. He said, see this scar? I needed that scar. Because there was blood in there that was stupid. It needed to come out. But he relocated his family to home, and the miraculous happened. Many Buddhists got saved. And they were saved miraculously through his ministry. There was a Buddhist temple right next door to where the church is. Now he's gone home to be with the Lord, but it was miraculous. And then during the break, he was trying, and somebody was, you know, they were fixing up his eye. And then he walked up to this white preacher and spoke to him in Samoan. And the preacher just ignored him. And said, and in the end, the man said, sir, what are you trying to do? What are you saying? He said, I'm talking to you. He said, speak in English. He said, what do you mean speaking English? You just talked to me in Samoan. The guy said, I wasn't talking in Samoan. I was just preaching, just praying in tongues. I don't know Samoan. I've never been to Samoa. Now, I've been to a lot of countries. You know what I said, Lord, it'll be great if somebody can speak Samoan in this place. It's never happened. But I'm ready when it does. It'd be nice to go to Thailand and say, oh, let a Thai person just speak in Samoan. That would be great. Are you all right? Say amen. Now, every now and again, we do an interlude like that. That's not the message. It's just an interlude. We're just talking. Hallelujah. And sometimes we need to break, hallelujah, from the normality of doing things the same old, same old, same old. Hallelujah. You know, if you train in the gym, And you exercise certain muscles, if you keep on exercising those muscles day in, day out, day in, day out, the same way, the muscle will get so used to the exercise, it'll actually not develop, it'll start to deteriorate. Even though you're exercising it, it stops building up because it's so used to the routine. Sometimes you have to break your routine for the muscle to develop. And sometimes, even in church services, you have to break some routines to get the truth across. Sometimes you need to do something. You know, I tell pastors, and I speak to pastors quite a lot. I tell them, no, don't you? All right. I said, tomorrow in your service, do something different. And then I tell him, if God's not doing anything different, you do it. And sometimes you need to do things differently for the muscles of your faith to be able to develop. Because you could get so used to doing things over and over again. How many know that if you hear me every day of the year, I don't care if I preach fantastically, you'll just, Now, if I take the same message and preach it at another church or another country, they say, wow, what kind of church do you come from? I said, you should see it. Why? You get so used. And if you get so used to eating steak, you no longer like it. You ignore it. And sometimes your routine in exercising, whether it's muscles or your faith, if you walk at the same pace every day, when the pace is changed, it's going to be very, very difficult. Why? You get so used to your own swagger that you think that everything's hunky-dory when you're not even actually developing muscles in your body. and sometimes you have to change routines. Now, let me say something else. Have you ever noticed when you are sick or diagnosed with something, you change routines? How many know that many times when you change routines, the sickness either goes or sustained? It's manageable. Why? Because you change your routine. Hello? Some people's diets are never changed until the doctor said, if you don't, you're dead. And then they change. And then they get healed. And then they said, why didn't I do this before? Because sometimes you need somebody to tell you, change. And sometimes we need to change the monotony of doing things over and over again the same way, because there are more than one way to skin a cat. How did I come up with that? And sometimes, like we shared last week, when they came and broke the roof, the sick man got close to Jesus, and the sick man got healed. And sometimes we need to break some roofs so the sick can get healed. And sometimes our tradition can be so powerful, we don't even want to change it. Hallelujah. And Paul said to the Galatians, obeying certain rules and laws is not going to get you the miraculous. Now, my wife and I go away quite a bit, and there are certain group in the church. They love the Lord, they're going to heaven, but you can't preach in their pulpit if you've got a beard. I turn up with a beard. They tell me to shave. I say, no. That's not rebellious. But you can shave your beard until the cows come home and preach from that pulpit. It doesn't mean that the people will get the Holy Ghost. In some churches, my wife will not wear a hat because she doesn't like hats. But some churches, the ladies wear hats. And when we go to those churches, somebody will come along and find my wife not without a hat and all the ladies, and they'll just put a hat on her. You want to unhat them. My wife will look at me and said, I said, it's all right. Now let me say this. Everybody in that church can wear a hat until Jesus returns. It doesn't mean they'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. You can obey your rules and your laws. It doesn't give you a miracle. That doesn't mean you won't get a miracle with a hat. You're going to get a miracle with a hat or without a hat. With hair or without hair. You get a miracle. But it's not the keeping of certain routines and certain traditions that gives us the miraculous. It's the hearing of faith. And sometimes we need to go against the grain in some of those traditions so that people can get touched by the power of God. I had a pastor ask me, he said, come preach my church. I said, no. He said, you're a preacher? God has called you. I said, I don't care. I'm not coming to your church. You preach in your own church. I'm not looking for a pulpit. And he begged me for 3 days. I said, listen, I'm not coming. He said, what will happen for you to come and preach in my church? I said, I will only come and preach in your church if I just wear a shirt. Because in their tradition, God wears a suit every Sunday. And if you don't wear a suit, God's not with you. I said, I'm not going to wear a suit. This is hard. I will only come if I just wear a shirt. He said, man, you can wear whatever you want. I said, good. So I went there with a nice floral shirt, beautiful. It was a nice floral in evening service. And guess what he did with his church? He told every man in the church and every boy, nobody wears a tie, nobody wears a jacket. Everybody just wear the best, you know, floral shirt. So we got the whole church was beautiful. And I preached, and he said, I'm going to get somebody so-and-so to come and sing, and then after that, Pastor Ely's going to preach. He's a real monkey, that pastor. The guy he got to sing is almost, he's almost as small as the microphone. He's just a little boy. And I thought, that guy can't sing. And he comes and he just holds up the microphone like this. I mean, he was just a little guy. I thought, he can't even hardly talk, let alone sing. When he opened his mouth, I thought, heaven if it came down. I said, ah, oh, you monkey. That pastor, you know, trying to get me back. But we had a fantastic service. See, wearing a suit and a tie. I just wear a suit and a tie because I respect you. And I love you. The suit and the tie is not for my benefit. Sometimes I just, the suit and the tie is for your benefit. I just rather wear a shirt. But you know, the suit and the tie in certain quarters can actually open somebody's heart. Because you turn up in certain quarters and if they, who's that? You know, a PhD may not do you any good if you're not into that kind of thing. But PhDs in other countries just open people's hearts. They won't listen to a pastor without a qualification. And if it's only for that, then get one. Just to help people's hearts to be open. Are you okay? Is this all right? I mean, we've been here now 22 years. I can count in the fingers of one hand the times I only wore a shirt to church. I just wear a suit for your benefit. Let me say this. I can preach just as well in a lava and a shirt than I do in a suit. But the suit is for your benefit. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 4, and I've got 11 minutes, then you can have a cup of tea. John chapter 4, Jesus, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And the Bible says, but he needed to go through Samaria. You read that and said, what has that got to do with anything? Why does he have to go through Samaria? Now, unless you realize their tradition and their culture, you'll probably not appreciate what that means. Because no Jew went through Samaria. Nobody. Even though Galilee is here and then, what's her name? And Samaria is here and Jesus is going from Galilee to Judea or vice versa. You got Galilee, Judea, Samaria. I mean, Galilee, Samaria, Judea. And if you go from one to the other, it's natural that you go through some, otherwise you never get there. I mean, if you go to Bulls, you go through Ratna. Unless you have a helicopter. Every time you go to Bulls, you go through Ratna. And the Bible says he had to go through Samaria. Why? Because it's and you look at it, it's quite natural. And he said, you look, but nobody went through Ratna. Nobody went through Samaria. So what they used to do is if they go from Judea to Galilee or the other way around, you got Judea, you got Samaria, you got Galilee. And if you go from there to here or here to there, they will cross the Jordan to the other side. And then they walk along the Jordan River. And then they cross back into here. Nobody went through Samaria. So when Jesus said, the Bible says, he needed to go through Samaria. Sometimes there are tradition and cultural norms that we break. Not because we are rebellious, but because we want people to get closer to God. Now, when he went through Samaria, he met a woman who's been married 5 times and now just living with a man. And she came at the most oddest hour to get water, because the women in the east get water in the morning and the evening, but he came at noonday and he sat at the well, and here comes a woman of Samaria. And she came in the afternoon. She came on her own. Why did she come on her own? I think because she recognized her own reputation, and that women will just neglect her and shun her away because of the lifestyle she lived. And she came by herself, and here is the well, sitting at a well. Here's a living well sitting by the physical well. With joy we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. The whole truth about wells where men meet their wives and meet the lover of their souls. Hallelujah. And Jesus met this woman, and Jesus asked her for a drink. You know, sometimes when we break the norm, God will ask us for something. And she said, you know the well is deep. Why didn't you bring your own bucket? Besides, I can see you're a Jew. You know who I am. I'm a Samaritan. Do you know we don't deal? What are you doing in my turf? And Jesus said, if you only knew who's in your turf, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sometimes we need to break away from our normality, break away from our tradition, break away from the things that we do. Sometimes even away from our own doctrinal persuasion. I've got a friend in Gisborne, comes from a very strong brethren background, and then got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, the greatest opposition to me getting filled with the Holy Ghost is the people that I came from. And they get up and try to criticize me and then try to say things. I told them, don't say that. If you don't say that. Please don't say that. Hello? You know what the woman said? I perceive you're a prophet. Guess what happened? The fivefold ministry fell on her. Just because she perceived. And sometimes our perception either breaks through or our perception holds us back. Well, I can't do that because I'm a Maori. I can't do that because I'm colored. I can't do that because I'm white. I can't do that because... What do you perceive? Are you okay? So sometimes, you know, like we said last week, sometimes we need to break some tradition. He said, why do you put that there? Well, you come put some lunch in it. You never know what God could do with your lunch. Amen. So come put some lunch in it and then go and have some, go and have something to eat. Have a cup of tea. Father, we bless you. We honor you today. Help us, Lord God, to understand. Enlarge our minds and enlarge our understanding beyond the borders of what we know. You said that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, that we might comprehend with all the saints the length and the depth and the height and the breadth and the love of Christ that surpasses our knowledge. Help us to believe beyond our own knowledge at times, because you're a God that is like that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. Maybe you're here and you've never made Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe you've never had a miracle. Maybe you don't understand even the things I share this morning. But you know in your heart that it's real. You can't explain it, but you know it's real. You're not here because of an accident. You're here by divine appointment. No one comes to the Lord. No one comes to Jesus. Jesus said, no one comes to me except the Father draws him. You're here because the Father who lives in heaven, Father God, drew you to this place. And if you're here today, you've never made Christ the Lord of your life, I'd love to lead you to know him. If that's you, if that is you, Spirit of the living God, touch them. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand up. Hallelujah. Let me acknowledge who you are. We'll pray for you. Is there anybody? Because I don't know everybody here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, change us from glory to glory. I pray for those that are in need of a physical miracle. We pray, dear God, that their bodies will be touched by the hand of the living God. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one. Pray, dear God, that you will minister to them. We give you honor this morning. You're a good God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Amen. If you've got some lunch you want to put in the lunch box, do so. Then have a cup of tea.